Welcome to Speak It On. This program is designed for the edification and entertainment of the listeners and not designed to be representative of a church, nonprofit organization, or denomination. Opinions expressed are solely those of the host.
Hey, welcome back. Let's have a talk about, I'm going to have to say it, it's a weakness. Biblical languages. It's a biblical pet peeve of mine, I'll be very honest. And that pet peeve is this. Mainly has to do with individuals who say or act as if they know Hebrew and Greek. I have been studying, and I use the word study, Hebrew and Greek for many years through various tools, various books. I've taken one formal class in Hebrew, and I try to make it a point not to tell people I know Hebrew and Greek, because I don't. Now, you may be thinking, so, I mean, what's the deal? Why is this pet peeve? Okay, well, let me say this. The other day, I was out, and having lunch with two good friends, and one of those friends had a younger man who was not new to the faith, but wanting to grow in the faith, wanting to grow in his relationship with Jesus Christ, okay, through more biblical knowledge. In other words, getting to know the Bible that it was written by Jesus, for Jesus, by Jesus, about Jesus, and the God of Israel, and his father. Now, that is a very, very wonderful thing. I mean, exciting thing. Especially if you get to the point where you're looking at the Bible and you're reading the Bible and you're discovering new and exciting things about the Bible. And you're wanting to go deeper. And you can go deeper. You go deeper into the languages. The languages say things. Now, be very honest with you. It's a challenge. Why? Well, you know, Koine Greek, which is Koine's word for common Greek. It's common Greek as opposed to ancient Greek and so forth, or Attic Greek. But anyway, it's common Greek. It's a Greek of Alexander the Great. He's pretty much the guy that thought that jazz up. Now, very, very, very interesting language. Love it. Very specific. Very, very specific. Hebrew, very different. Hebrew is like looking at a picture, and the picture has different layers, and you know, you pull a page off and then a piece changes or something like that. It's pretty fascinating. I love Hebrew, and I believe, and I'm a staunch advocate for biblical languages from this perspective, is that when you get into the language, you start getting into the people who use the language. And by the way, that doesn't just hold true to biblical or ancient languages. Any language, you really start to feel the culture. And so from that perspective, when you get into the languages Jesus was speaking, you can see as he's speaking, and you begin to feel, okay, yes, I think, you know, you can almost hear him talking to you. Now, here's the thing, and that was a little bit of a tangent. Biblical languages are great, But the place to start is the word itself, a translation. Because the question was put to me, and I've mentioned this in prior podcasts in a different situation, what version is good for me to read? And my answer is not what most people want, but it's the one that I'm very confident in, and that is, read the Bible version you will read. I don't normally, I don't recommend paraphrases. And paraphrase, The Message, it's a wonderful book. It's a paraphrase. And a paraphrase is basically one guy's opinion of what it says, and he's writing it down. The Living Bible, not the New Living Translation, but the Living Bible by Ken Taylor is a paraphrase. Someone writing down what they think it, the expression and what it's saying. Get a translation. Now, this particular discussion really isn't so much about translations as it is about this. The complication also with Hebrew and Greek, in many ways, is you don't know what this person's telling you, if they're right or not. So, and people end up getting really flippant about, and by that I mean, they just seem to act like they know Hebrew and Greek. They just act like, yes, that's blah, 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 blah. And you get these Bible tools, and you get someone who's looked up like 20 words in a concordance, and they go bananas on you. So let me clarify just a few things in this. And the reason this got started was, getting back to the story, I was out with two friends. One of the friends brought a younger guy who was asking questions about, hey, what good Bible's good to read. And then one of my friends says, hey, what you need to do is go get, hey, I recommend the interlinear, an interlinear, which basically has English and Greek or English and Hebrew side by, on top of each other, all right? So you can read it that way. Well, the complication with that idea is this. That's like trying to swat a fly with a bazooka, with a tank. Okay, you got a fly, you go get a tank, and you blow the fly away. Is the fly dead? Oh yeah, it's dead, all right. And so is everything else around it. It's overkill. It's overkill, babe. Overkill. Now, why is it overkill? Ellie, I don't understand. What are you talking about? I mean, it seems like if you got a book that gives you the actual Greek and then the Hebrew, you're encouraging people to do that, encouraging people to get into the languages, why would that be a problem? Well, it's a good place to wind up, but it's not a good place to start. So, let me say this. If you're new to Hebrew, new to Greek, new to all that fun stuff, I do want to encourage you to study those a little bit at a time and find a class or a system. For example, William Mounts, M-O-U-N-C-E, William Mounts has pretty much the gold standard books on learning Hebrew or Greek. And there are classes that use those textbooks. And there's some excellent books on Hebrew as well from the same publisher. But also you've got a guy by the name of Mansour who's got some Hebrew books out that are very good. But if you're going to get into the language, don't stick your toe in it, okay? Biblical languages are literally something you just got to jump into. I mean, you really do. And here's the reason why. Because, and translators will tell you this stuff, all right? The thing you can't find out from a concordance, and a concordance is a wonderful tool, and it will tell you specifics on specific words in the Bible. For example, the names of God. You can look up the names of God, the New Testament and the Old Testament, and find and just absolutely enrich your whole life. I mean, literally. Because God, his names change. In the Old Testament, he has different names that he uses. You know, there's, of course, you've heard El Shaddai and El Elyon and Yahweh Yireh. I mean, you just go on and on and on. It's amazing. And those are very telling of those names. And so there is very good information there. But what they don't tell you is syntax. Syntax. Syntax in the Greek language can help you identify if some word is an objective genitive or a subjective genitive. Sometimes it not. But then, also, it can, in many ways, certain things can, you need to know, is this pluperfect? You know, what declension is this? And again, this is all the technical stuff, all right? But the issue is studying Greek itself, the language, will help you get there. Now, I'm going to be the first one to say, there's plenty of Greek professors out there that do not believe the Bible is the Word of God. They absolutely don't. And they'll tell you that. And they'll actually say you're an idiot for thinking it is. And they're touched in the head from this perspective. Why? Why are you studying Greek if you don't believe the Bible is the Word of God? Why don't you study ancient Greek? Got a whole ton of stuff in ancient Greek. You can go off into the philosophers and Greek tragedies. Just go bananas. Why are you staying on the Bible? Oh, well, you know, well, I swear I got all my background information, my bachelor's and all this stuff. Oh, okay, so you got all your degrees in this stuff, and now you don't have anywhere to go, but you don't believe the Bible's the Word of God. Okay. So anyway, Hebrew, you know, there are different things in Hebrew, identifiers. Is this in the hiphol? Is this in the niphol? Do you know your niphol from your hiphol? Those things. But syntax is something you have to be taught. Because it explains why a sentence is the way it is in that language. So, and you can't necessarily pull that out of a concordance. You have to have someone help teach you when you're looking at something. Here are the conditions that we're looking at. Hermeneutics, exegesis, you got to do those things, okay? Which basically means when you read it, in the original language, what are the rules for pulling out the information and understanding it correctly? That's the thing a concordance won't freaking tell you. Now, that being said, I've already mentioned that there are some excellent, excellent books out there. I mentioned William Mounts. I've mentioned Mansour in the Hebrew. Also, Ted Hildebrandt had some very good stuff. At one time, he had some programs that really were instructional programs on Hebrew and Greek that I used. Unfortunately, you can't get a computer to run them anymore, and it's a tragedy, because Ted Hildebrandt, a very good professor, put these things together, and they were freaking awesome. I loved them. Now, you might be able to go online and I think connect that way. But here's the point. The point is if you're getting into biblical languages, it's not something you can just play with. Playing with biblical languages is like playing with a loaded weapon. And there's so many wrong interpretations of stuff that people run with and make doctrines out of and start churches and cults and all kinds of crazy junk because they're doing really, really garbage exegesis on the Bible. And they're doing it because they really don't know the original languages. And then even if they know the languages, they don't get into the culture and they don't get into the context where you can pull in the culture and all of this. It's a thing. So yeah. So when I hear and when I hear people, you know, suggest and you need to get Hebrew and Greek and blah 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 blah, and act like they know. That really hacks me off. I'm sorry it does. I'm working on it. I try not to ever say I know Hebrew and Greek because I freaking don't. And here's what I mean by knowing Hebrew and Greek. It is this. If you know Greek, no matter how you learned it, okay? And by the way, you can self-study that jazz, but good luck. I mean, you're like one in a million if you could pull that off. But there's people out there who can do that. You can pick up a Greek New Testament, and you can start reading that joker, and you can translate it on the fly. In other words, you're reading it in Greek, and then you tell people, this is what it says in English. That is knowing Greek. Knowing Hebrew, you can pick up the Stutzgardia, and you can look at that joker, Biblical Hebraica Stutzgardia, and you can start reading that, and then you can tell people. You know, or you can just say, okay, this is what it says, and you just write there on the fly, and you're not making it up, and you're not, you're reading what it says. That's a knowledgeable level. And I ain't there on either one of those dang languages. Ain't there. And God bless you if you are. I'm impressed. Because you have to focus. Now here's the issue though. If you're not all into that jazz just yet. Another good Greek tool, by the way, is Vine's word studies on the Greek New Testament. They're thick. You can kill a camel with those things. They're thick. But I've been trying to read them through. And they've got the New Testament in there. And then it's got an expanded edition if you get the fourth edition. But it explains a lot. And you can learn so much from people who know Greek and Hebrew. Yeah, yeah. Now, and the reason I say that is because there are a lot of ministers that have had a Greek or two, you know, maybe 2 years of Greek, 2 years of Hebrew. Because usually in most, well, let me back up a second. Okay, used to be, once upon a time, in a land far, far away, everyone pretty much knew that if you were doing theological studies, you studied Hebrew and Greek. And you knew it. I mean, you could read Hebrew and Greek. Once upon a time, it was expected. It was just part of it. They never thought anything different. They just said, oh, you're going to be a minister? Oh, well, okay, good luck with that Greek and Hebrew. You know, and in fact, even Latin in many ways. Because if you're liturgical, then Latin came into play quite a bit. So here's the thing. Some time ago in the U.S., in the 80s and early 90s, they I know in Baptist circles, Southern Baptist circles specifically, they began making biblical languages optional, and they started, instead of making you learn them, they would they made it optional, and then they gave you a option to take a path in your master's studies for biblical tools, which basically means they taught you how to use a lexicon, taught you how to use a concordance, taught you how to do some of that stuff, which can be pretty handy with Greek, but Hebrew can be kind of jinky. But here's the thing. It was optional. Well, I got to tell you, most people, if you say, hey, would you like to study ancient Greek? The answer would be probably no. As a matter of fact, I think I would rather have my toes cut off. But even if you hit them up with a Greek, they would study Greek before they studied Hebrew. Six times a week and twice on Sunday. I mean, seriously, 7 days a week, excuse me, and twice on Sunday. They would definitely just do that because people hated Hebrew. And there was a bias against Hebrew, partially because there's a Greek New Testament. No, excuse me, a Greek copy, the Septuagint of the Old Testament, which has its issues. But nevertheless, they had, in their brains, they're probably thinking, well, if I learn Greek, I can study the Old Testament. And by the way, the Septuagint was used by Paul a lot. So they're thinking, well, the Apostle Paul used it, so I don't need to study Hebrew, really. Well, gee, problem is you're robbing yourself. But the issue is, and you're robbing your parishioners, by the way. The people in the pews, you're robbing those people too because you're not studying that jazz. But the thing is, if you ask them, hey, would you like to study biblical languages? They'd probably say, no, not if I don't have to. Hey, we got biblical tools, so that's cool. But then if you said, well, you're going to have to do biblical languages, and you say, would you like to do Greek or Hebrew? They're going to say, oh, I'd do Greek. Why? Because Greek reads right to left. There's some loan words and things of that nature. There's a little bit of connection there. But then when you talk Hebrew, man, you might as well tell them, hey, yeah, you're going to learn Mandarin Chinese. And they're like, oh, lordy. Because seriously. And it's not that hard. For real. I love Hebrew. I've known Greek, not known. I've studied Greek. Backing up again, man, fall into that. Falling in my own trap. I've studied Greek for years and years, longer than I have Hebrew. I've studied Hebrew for about 13. And I'm still not there, I'll be honest, because you really have to throw yourself at it. But I love it every time I go into it. Absolutely, I love it. And I have totally enjoyed studying Greek in the Vines Word Studies in the New Testament, as well as Dr. Mounce's book, because the dude's freaking brilliant. So, the main thing is, the next time you hear somebody, oh, I know Greek, then just whip out a Greek New Testament. Okay, read it to me, baby. Next, oh yeah, I know Hebrew. Well, give them the biblical Studscardia, and it's the biblical Hebraica Studscardia, which is the Old Testament Hebrew, and just whip that joker out. Okay, baby, read that joker for me. I'd like to hear the Psalms in the original language. Most people don't. Instead, what we have is a very good knowledge of very basic things, and that's okay. Just don't stop. Keep learning. There's nothing matter with not knowing. There is something matter with not trying, and there's something really the matter with telling people, anyone, minister or otherwise, telling people they know Hebrew and Greek. I had one guy stare me in the face and said, you'll never know Hebrew. It takes forever. Well, I don't know what to tell you, but there's an awful lot of Jews that know it pretty dang good. In fact, I had one doctor that I was visiting, orthopedic doctor, and he tickled me because I was saying, these vowel pointings are really killing me. in the Hebrew, Dr. Rosenberg, and he said, don't you come crying to me. I had to learn that stuff without vowels. He said, I had to read it without those vowels, man. What are you talking about? Get out of my face. So, it's doable. It's doable. Like anything else, it is doable. What one person can do, another person can do. It has to do with motivation. But the next time you hear somebody just whipping off, oh yeah, I know Hebrew, I know Greek. Yeah, you start quizzing that little fart and ask them. Now they may actually know, and that would be great. I had a guy in a Sunday school class, and he was a wonderful guy. I loved him dearly. He went to Tyndall, and he carried a Greek New Testament to Sunday school. He read out of that during Sunday school. He could read Greek, which was freaking awesome cool. But again, biblical languages, watch out for people that say they know. I don't care if they're a minister. I don't care if they got a freaking PhD. People think PhDs just know all this jazz and then remember it just like yesterday. They don't. They forget stuff. People forget stuff. If they're not using it, a regular basis, and I mean really staying with it, you lose it. If you don't use it, you lose it. And you know, the first thing they lose Hebrew. And that's sad. I guess that's why I went full bore on Hebrew and took the formal class in Hebrew. Just one, but the formal class in Hebrew is really fantastic. So, with that thought in mind, let me say this last closing bit, and that is that if you don't read the biblical languages, and you don't feel like you're there yet, just get some different versions and compare the verse in those versions. Compare the verse in the verse. And, you know, try to make at least one of them a literal translation like the NASB. And then another one, you know, maybe a dynamic equivalent one like the NIV or something like that that reads easy. You can tell the difference in the literal ones versus the dynamic equivalent ones, because the ones that are super literal read kind of clunky and the other ones read real smooth. But anyway, please don't forget that not too far from now I will be moving off of SoundCloud onto Acast. I will, most of my past podcasts are already on Acast and will stay there. And a lot of my material will be vanishing off of the SoundCloud. But I will try to post the new stuff on SoundCloud so I don't lose anything, okay? But I do want to make you aware of that. So, if you want the full meal deal, go over to Acast. And otherwise, I want to encourage you to always keep on keeping on.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Speak It On. And as always, don't be afraid to speak the word in boldness and truth. And may God bless you.